let me start again. It's a great privilege to be here. We have not only that we hear from the team, but also we pay attention to what God is doing around us. In your life, in my life, what the Spirit of God is doing, and the challenge to, are we connected? Are we involved in what he's doing in our lives? Brother, you want to come up? This is also a very special day, because our special brother is going to speak to us today, grew up here in this church. His parents both sitting here among us. We have Shell and Mata, who's sitting in the front. And they are the wonderful parents of this young man. The reason why I'm excited, because God, let's not underestimate what God is doing in our midst. And we look at our children, and we look at our Sunday school, and every sacrifice that we've made, God is working in his own way in raising people up. And we are excited to be here. I am blessed personally to be here and be part of what God is going to do through these young men today. So let us, are you excited about that? Yes? We have wonderful parents that are here. Let's give a big hand. These are those guys that started here at humble beginning of SIC. And now answer to prayer. Amen. That God can do that and change lives and raise people. So we celebrate that today. Let us pray. Let's pray together. Father, it is an incredible honor that we can stand here together and witness the fruit of your calling in our lives. We want to thank you for our brother and the team that is here, just sold out for you, doing the things they love doing, and that is following you. We pray that you will speak to us this morning, and you have been speaking to us in the last few weeks, reminding us of our secret place, reminding us of the importance of our relationship with you. Would you speak to us again today? So with open heart and our spirit anticipating, we ask of you that you will speak through our brother. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hello? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's an honor to be here and to be able to speak at this church, because it's been a big part of my life. And you have been very patient with me and through all my phases in life. So it's an honor to be back. I want to put the pressure off of myself, because it's not me speaking here. It's all a work of God in me. If God hadn't done anything in my life, I would not have been here. So it's all to him. And that's also, I think, what we've learned through living in Odda together. So I just want to emphasize that, like, it's all Jesus Christ. And if there's one thing he's doing in my life right now, it's revealing the freedom of his gospel, that it's all about him and it's nothing about me. And I've been watching a lot of sermons on YouTube and things like this, and they're all like, you can get every like topic you want. Like, I just write a topic in there with the name of a preacher, and it comes up. Like, you can find anything you wonder or anything you want to find out about. But if there's one preacher that I've been watching who's just like, wow, this is great preaching. Like, it frees something in me, because it's really simple. Our faith is built on a gospel. And if we understand this gospel, we don't need to understand the revelation that John has in the end of the book. Or we don't have to understand why God is doing what he does in the New or Old Testament. Because the gospel is what shines through the Bible. And that's the foundation of our faith. And so that's what I want to just highlight today. Even though I'm talking about a topic, I just really want to bring you closer to the Father in relationship with Him and loving one another as ourselves. So, yeah, I'm going to try to make it simple, and I want to bring some examples from our lives in Odda and also like what God is doing in my life right now. But we can start with the text today. It's Matthew 22, 36 to 37. So, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Can we get the next slide? Jesus replied, if anyone who loves me, I think we, I'll just find it right here because there's more to that text, I think. He goes on to say, anyways, that and loving our neighbor as ourselves is the second greatest commandment of the law. Now, I think it's fascinating because Jesus is asked only one question. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Which one commandment? But he adds a second commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself. So yeah, that's what I want to just talk about today. Now, for me, Christianity has been very vague a lot of the time. Like, I remember when I started my faith in Jesus Christ, I heard people say, you need to love Jesus, I love Jesus, and I love God, and in myself, I honestly didn't feel a love to God. So I asked God, like, how am I able to love you? Because a lot of the times, I think we can become religious in churches. And what I mean by that is that we try to fulfill commandments and things that Jesus says. We try to, like, fill the role of what he's teaching, but it becomes a law in our life. So we're striving and striving and striving to fulfill something that we see in the scriptures so that we can be right with God. So I actually just want to start out with a simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just want to clear out, like, Jesus Christ came to earth to die for our sins, which means that when he was raised to life and we believe in him, confess faith in him, then we are righteous. And that's the end of it. That's the gospel of faith. It's that Jesus Christ has died for us and risen to life, which means we are righteous before God when we confess faith in Jesus Christ. So if we do anything in our life to become righteous with God, we're going to fail because we're not able to. We have no way of becoming righteous before God so that we are, what he said, so that we can pay the debt of our own sin. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about, if you want to come into heaven, then you need to be able to do these things. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means Jesus Christ has died for us and risen, so we are free from sin. Now, we are not free of not doing anything, because that's a cheap grace. That's cheapening the gospel of Christ. So the gospel means we are free from sin, but we still need to love God with all our soul and with all our mind, and we still need to love our neighbors as ourselves. But why we're doing it is to live holy lives before God. And another thing is, it is impossible, I think, to live in the gospel without knowing the Father. I think that's why God, or Jesus, says that we need to love the Father first. So I want us all to stand up, because this is something I think not most of us realize in our own life, that God loves us, and he is proud of us. That's like, yeah, that's the truth. So this morning as well, I had to, like, just, I felt like I had to like spend time with God so that he would be happy with me and so that like he could, I had all these thoughts and feelings in, going through me, but I just had to stop up and like think about what I'm preaching about today. And it's like, okay, God already loves me. He is already proud of me. I cannot do anything to change that. So I want everyone to just humble themselves and turn to your neighbor and say, just God loves me and God is proud of me, because it's true. And you don't need to do anything to deserve his love. Yeah. So yeah, we cannot do anything to become righteous before God, and we cannot do anything to earn the love of God. So that's just what I want to start out with. That's the foundation of this today's teaching, I think. And for me, like I told you, like in the beginning, I struggled, like, how can I love the Lord, my God? How can I get the love of God in me and actually feel like I am proud of the gospel? I can say to people, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, this is what I believe in, and God loves you. Because I felt shame, and I felt like I didn't have the love of God in me. So I asked God, how can I love you? I don't feel the love for you. Teach me how to love you. And the simple reply I got was just start reading the Bible. And the reason why I want to like just bring that testimony before you is because it's very simple. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who is proud of us. And if we have faith in him, then we're set. We're righteous before him. He loves us and is proud of us. And we can come to him and just spend time with him, and he will teach us. He will teach us these things. He will teach us how to love him with all our soul, with all our mind. And he will teach us to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's not something I need to be able to do. Okay. And I think, like, how do we love the Father? How do we love God? And I found this scripture where Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. So it's not if whoever loves me, he will have his heart pounding for me. He will like, his voice just melts. And that's not the love that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about obedience to what Jesus says. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He's talking about a relationship right here. It's, I understand who God is, and God is perfect, he is holy, and he is good. So if God tells me I need to pray for the sick, then it's not, okay, I need to like figure out why do I have to do that, and how do I do it? Do I feel right? Am I good enough to pray for the sick? That's not like questions we're actually supposed to be asking, because if we know who the Father is, we will obey his teaching, right? We'll just be living in obedience to him. And for us in Odda, like we started out the first half year with like, or the first months, just like we were so active. Like we were almost melting together with another church or group of believers, and we knew so many people. We were helping out with things. We were like, every day we had dinner together, we had the communion, and we prayed together and things like this. But we felt like we were still like drifting apart. And we just had to like come together and say, like, this is not working. We're not able to do anything right here. We feel like we're disconnected from each other. So we decided, you know what? We're just going to put everything down, lay everything down, and we're just going to go to Jesus together half an hour every day, and we're just going to be with him. Like, if we don't want to worship, we don't. If we don't want to pray, we don't. We just stay half an hour a day and worship, or stay in the presence of God. And it was amazing. Like, after a couple months, suddenly we're unified, we have the same drive. God equips us, and he gives us strength, and it's all through him. It's all through a relationship with him. And the relationship with the Father is like, we need to remember we are the children of God. He is our Father. And if you look at like a relationship between a father and a little child, you'll see that the child cannot do anything for the father. He cannot help the father out with anything. Like, the child is totally dependent on his father, right? Like, the child cannot earn money so that the father can eat food. And it's the same with us and God. Like, I cannot do anything that God cannot do. I'm totally dependent on God providing for me and God putting everything in front of me. But I think sometimes we feel like I need to be good enough or I need to do things for God so that I can help him out. But the way we love God, the way a child loves his father, is he comes to the father. Like, he wants to, like, show him or be a part of his life. And he kind of, like, you just see a child running and just jumping in the father's embrace and just staying there. And that's the love we have with our father, is coming to him. So last Sunday, Mr. Pius had a great teaching about, like, the secret place. And for those of you who don't know, the secret place is where we come to God alone. It's where we just spend time with the Father. And it's something that God has really been teaching me this half of a year or this semester, is just spending time with him. Because without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I am nothing. And I am very lost without the Father. And I think we're also called to love our neighbor. It's the second part of what God or Jesus is talking about to this teacher that gives him a question about, like, the scripture we read. And for me, it's very hard to love my neighbor if I don't know that God loves me. So there's another story in the Bible of a son, or two sons. One of them asks the father, like, can I have my inheritance? Can I have everything that you owe me so that I can live my own life? And he receives the father's inheritance, and he goes out and he wastes it. He's very poor. He comes back to the father and he asks him, like, can I just be a servant at your house, because at least they have food and they are clothed and I will just serve you for the rest of my life. But the father just embraces him and says, my son is back home, and makes a big party for him and still calls him his own son. Now, I want to just highlight the second son, because the second son doesn't realize that the father loves him. He is very angry at the father because the other son, who just wasted everything, did everything wrong, comes back and receives the father's love, and there's a party for him. Whereas the second son, who's been working hard his whole life, doing the right things, he never had a single party for his friends. But the father says, you don't know that everything I owe is yours, or everything I own is already yours. So he doesn't know the father's love for him, which means he's working hard to earn the father's love, which is what I wanted to start out with. We're already all right with God. He already loves us. And that's where we find the power to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we don't know that we're loved, then we'll go and seek Jesus' commandments. And we'll do everything, try to do everything right so that we can be loved by God. But that's not the fact. The fact is we're already loved by God. And we don't want to be the guy who works all our life to realize we already have received what God, or what we're trying to earn. So a great friend of ours, his name is Sam Lovell, he said once that religion is working for things we've already received for free, which is a tragedy if you think about it. It's spending your whole life trying to get something you already have. So we need to know the Father loves us, and that drives us into a relationship with him. Now, there's another scripture that Jesus Jesus tells his disciples the great commissioning, or he sends out his disciples when he ascends into heaven. Can we get the Mark, let's see, Mark 16? Yes. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, this is also something that God has just been doing in our team lately, is the faith in God, of seeing miracles, seeing people being touched by God, like, physically. But again, this can become a comparison or a law in our life. If we look at this and we don't know that we're loved, then it's very hard to love our neighbors, as I tried to point out. Because Jesus says that these signs will accompany those who believe. So if I don't see these signs in my life, does it mean that I don't believe enough? Or maybe, yeah, I don't have the answers for that. It doesn't mean that God is not happy with you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you or isn't proud of you. But I think this is an important side of being Christians, being believers. Now, Jesus gave the Pharisees a really, really hard time. And it's for one reason, I think. It's because they seek their own honor through religion. Through being really good with God, they wanted honor from men to see how good they were, right? And when this guy comes up to Jesus and asks him what's the greatest commandment, Jesus adds another one, which is loving our neighbor as ourselves. And it's because it's really, really important. If we only seek the honor of God so that we can feel good, so that we can like feel righteous and loved, but then we see a person on the street who doesn't know God and we ignore him or rebuke him even, or are evil towards him, then the love of God is not in us. Then we don't know how much God actually loves that person as well. And for me, I was longing to see people being healed, to see signs and miracles happen. And whenever somebody brought it up, talking about like, oh yeah, we need to go out on the streets and pray for people, or it's so fantastic, like these people are getting healed, I would feel this frustration and anger in myself because I wanted that to happen in my life, but like I didn't feel like I felt like there was something missing. I wasn't able to go up to people and pray for them. I was afraid. Something just wasn't right in me. And when God like started, when I started like seeking the secret place, seeking God for myself, he just really revealed to me his love for me. Right? He just opened the gospel up. I had been Christian for 4 years maybe, but I never realized how much God loves me and how much the gospel actually means for me. Now, when I'm talking about the gospel, it's not a mysterious thing. It's very simple. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son for them so that they may live if we believe in him. And it's like, yeah, we've heard that before, so why doesn't it impact my life? It's because I don't think we realize it in our own life, and I think that we need to experience it by meeting God. And also, I was sitting on a bench in Oda one day. We had this thing with all the churches in Oda. We came together, and we had a tent on the street, and we were giving out waffles, talking to people. And I felt like, oh, man, I don't want to be here right now. I'm not in the mood for this. So I went like around the corner, and I just sat on a bench, and I was looking at people walking by, and I just felt God saying to me, Frederick, look at these people. I long to know every single one of them, and I love every single one of them. And for me, it was like, oh man, I need to stop being the selfish man who just seeks God for myself, and I don't want to share him to other people. And for me, it was very powerful. It was so powerful that it like drove me to talk to people, to pray for people, and it drove out the fear of meeting people. And so when God said, or Jesus says, we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, and when he says that these signs will follow those who believe, it can become a burden if we're not driven by God. So we need the love of God in our life for us to be able to do these things. So these two commandments go hand in hand. They're so important together. We cannot have one and not have the other, I think. Jesus also gives us a parable of a man who comes before a king, and the king says, you owe me, I don't remember the currency they use in the Bible, but this guy owes the king 6 million day wages, which is like 6 million days of work to pay his debt back. And so he doesn't have the money, and the king throws him in jail. Or wants to throw him in jail. The guy just falls to his knees and he says, please have mercy on me. I don't have the money for this. And he pleads the Lord or the king to forgive him. And the king, he feels compassion for the servant, and he just deletes the debt. The guy goes free. But then the servant goes out on the street and he sees another servant who owes him like 200 day wages. And he like grabs hold of his throat, and he threatens the guy that if he doesn't pay him back, then he will throw him in prison. And the guy doesn't have money, so he throws him in prison. Now, when the king hears about this, he is enraged with the first servant who he forgave, and he throws him into prison and judges him. And Jesus uses this parable when Peter asks him, how many times should I forgive my brother? So it's about forgiveness and against those who sin against us. But I think also it's a good parable for us as believers in a whole, because if we have been loved so much by God that we have had or been forgiven all our sins, and that we have eternal life in Him and have life right now in Him, then why shouldn't we go out and want the same for our neighbors? Why shouldn't we want the same for those who are lost? And I just feel like putting ourselves in other people's shoes is just such a powerful way to just have get love for our neighbors. Now, me and Richard, we were out on the streets yesterday. I just wanted to like give you an example of us just like not having love for our neighbors. Like, we were out on the streets yesterday and just walking around, wanted to see like if there were anybody we could pray for or if God highlighted any people. And so we go into this one street and there's a cafe there. There's a guy in a wheelchair sitting on a table with his buddy. They're just having a good time. And so me and Rachel, we walked past them first, and I saw the guy, and so I was like asking God, like, should we go and talk to them and strike up a conversation? And I felt like God said, yeah, that's fine, do that. And so we're standing there, and I'm like, I think we should go over and talk to these guys. And Rachel looked at them, and he's like, okay. Like, we walked over there, and I was like, what should I say? Like, how can I start a conversation with them? And so we're standing there for like maybe 5 or 10 minutes just looking at each other like, what are we going to say? And finally, like, I came over to the guys and I was like, yeah, so do you guys know a great place for coffee? And I started talking about something totally different. So like when they had answered me, I'm like, I cannot tell them I want to pray for them now, because that would be really awkward, because I started talking about something else. So we just... We just went away and sat at another cafe. But yeah, it was just like, I've also learned that if we want to approach somebody and invite them to a Christian event or pray for them or anything, then we shouldn't try to like mislead them into thinking that we wanted something else. So I felt like we'd ruin our shot there and things like this. But it's like when they walked away, we were like looking at each other like and talking like, what if that guy could actually have been healed by God? How would that change his life? He would have been able to walk. He would have known God, maybe. Things like this. And it's just like, oh, man, we need the love of God more in our lives so that we can love our neighbors as ourselves. But it changed. Like, we went out and we met two people who were walking on crutches. And we were able to pray for them. They weren't healed right then and there, but we got to pray for them, and we were really happy when we came home. And because praying for people gives so much back. So I wouldn't just want to encourage. It's so much joy, and yeah. Yeah, and I want to... There are two scriptures I would like to just end off with. It's this one in Romans. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, actually, yesterday, I was talking to Christina about this. It seems like there are two parts of the Jewish law. There is the Ten Commandments that is given to them through Moses by God, which are Ten Commandments of how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to be as the people of God. But they also received a bunch of commandments about just like cleansing of sin. They had to like sacrifice animals and shed blood to pay for their sins. Now, when Jesus died and rose for us, then he did that. That's the second part of the law that he fulfilled by dying for us. He made us totally clean from sin. Sin has no longer a hold on me if I come to God and if I have a relationship with God. I cannot receive Jesus as my Lord, go out and sin as much as I want and say, no, Jesus died for me. Sin has nothing on me. We need to always have a relationship with God. But then also Jesus and Paul are talking about actions that fulfill the law. And this is the greatest of them all. To love your neighbor as yourself fulfills the Ten Commandments. So it doesn't make us more righteous with God, but it fulfills the second law, which is being holy before God. And I also want to end off with 1 John 4, 10 and 11. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So I just want to thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you have made us righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we can go out in boldness and in power of your love, God, and just share you with our neighbors. I pray that you fill us with more love for people who are in need, God, people that don't have a place to live, people that don't have money, that we can help them out, God, and share with what we have been blessed with. I pray also for everyone in this building, everyone in this church, God, that we can just go deeper into relationship with you every day, God, that we can experience your love for us, that we can experience the love that Jesus shed on the cross, God, and that we can just go out in power and authority, and the signs that you have given us of healing the sick and doing miracles and signs and wonders, God, can follow us. I pray that your freedom in the gospel just really is released in this place. Amen. Now, I didn't check this with you, but we prayed yesterday in the team because we want to share prophetic words of what we think God is just showing us about this church. And so we received some, yes, just some words for you that we hope will encourage you and uplift you as a church. And some of the things we got were, we saw that there are people in this church who have a certain spirit of prayer, that are warriors of prayer. And we would like to encourage that because I think God sees it and he has given you a gift to pray. Just that you have a way of praying with authority and breakthrough. So if you feel like that's for you, then be encouraged, pray. Pray for this church, pray for your friends. Yeah, just pray for breakthrough. And then we also saw that we think there are people in this church who have been tried in a lot of things, either in their home country or here, have gone through a lot of trials. And it was like a picture, kind of like a diamond it's made by extreme pressure and heat. So it goes through a lot of pressure and heat, but it becomes this fine rock, this jewel. And there are people in this place who have been tried in a lot of things, but now are like, you're so hard and very strong in the Lord. And you also have a power to cut through the enemy's walls and there was a picture of these dry cracks that are like wounds in people's lives and oil being poured out that like filled the cracks and made the person whole. So we think that God is bringing healing into people's lives and making them whole again. And there was a picture of branches or beams of light that became like networks. So it's like relationships in this church, which I think, knowing this church, is very true, because there are people from every nation in this church almost, and just like the relationships that you build here will also like bless you throughout your whole life, and also will bless the nations. Yeah. And then Magdalena got just simple words. So you just receive them. There were joy, peace, spirit, life, light, and revelation. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Magdalena. Absolutely. Fantastic. Let's give another big hand. God is faithful to his church, to his people. He's not forgotten us. He's committed and devoted to his people and his calling in our lives. We want to thank you. We will come. We'll talk about that. So later on during the service, we're going to invite people who want to be prayed for. These are wonderful words of encouragement. Amen? This is what the church is all about. There is life and power, and we are the people of power. Amen? Let us stand up together. We are